I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When a virus attacks crops, they can completely wipe them out. And in some parts of the world, this is a death sentence. So naturally, scientists are keen to find a way to provide protection against these infections. Viruses usually attack by using parts of the victim's own cell machinery against it. So in theory, if you can change this part of the cell, the protein, the virus won't recognise it and its attack will have been neutralised. But if you change something inside a cell too much, the cell itself can't use it and will die anyway. Now, a group from the University of Granada in Spain think they may have found a solution, at least for the bacteria E. coli, by going back in time billions of years. I spoke to José Sánchez Ruiz to find out more.
Viruses, when they infect organisms, they recruit the proteins of the organism for, you know, their own purposes. So a virus is like very well adapted to recruit the modern proteins. Our thinking was that if we could replace a modern protein with an ancestral version, maybe the virus was unable to recruit the protein and was unable to propagate within the modern organism. And at the same time, we were expecting that the ancestral protein has some, let's say, normal functionality within the modern organism. So the point is that the protein is doing something in the organism, so we just cannot change the protein to something that does not work. So we need something that works, but the virus cannot recruit.
These proteins inside cells, as well as performing a vital function, also serve as a kind of entry point for the virus, like a lock in a door, which the virus has the key for. There's an arms race between the virus and its victim over millions of years. The bacterium slightly changes the lock so the key won't work, and in response, the virus changes its key so it can break in again. On and on. But by engineering the lock to how it would have been billions of years ago, it's now completely unrecognisable to the virus's key, and it still does its job in the cell. But how do they know what these ancient proteins were like?
These are proteins from billions of years ago. Proteins do not preserve that long, of course. So we actually reconstruct them. The way we do that is similar to what people working in historical linguistics do. For instance, the origin of all Germanic languages is called Proto-Germanic. Proto-Germanic is extinct. It's an extinct language. But if you have several modern Germanic languages, so and you know a certain word, let's say the word for sky, in several modern Germanic languages, then you can figure out some, you know, reasonable approach to the word for sky in Proto-Germanic. Reconstructed ancient proteins is something similar, because each protein is defined by a sequence of amino acids. And there are 20 different amino acids. So at a certain level, a protein is specified by a word. So by a word written using an alphabet of 20 letters. So if you have that word in different modern organisms, you can make a good guess about that word in the common ancestor, in the same way that people can reconstruct extinct languages.
You sort of looked at all the modern proteins and then you could work backwards from this and try and work out what the ancestral one looked like.
Exactly.
But then how did you build it?
That's actually very easy. When we have the reconstructed sequence, it's just a matter of making a gene with a nucleic acid that codes for that sequence and get that gene within an organism, and the organism will actually produce the protein.
And so why have you done this? I mean, I don't suppose you just want E. coli that's resistant to viruses. So what are you hoping to show, or what are you hoping the implications of this will be?
So the specific idea was to demonstrate a new way to achieve viral resistance, because disease caused by viruses have devastating effects in agriculture. in particular in some countries. And some, you know, some places people depend on a certain kind of a staple food. And when they get a viral disease in their crops, the effects are actually are devastating. So actually people killed by this virus disease in this way. There are several approaches to engineer virus-resistant plants. And so we figured that we wanted to demonstrate the possibility of a new approach. So what we have done in a certain way is a proof of concept. Of course, the real application would be engineering virus resistance in plants. My hope is that people in plant bioengineering will give this a shot.
Any plant bioengineers listening, there's a challenge for you. The work being discussed there was published in Cell Reports.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.